VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. As much as possible, we try to have a news roundup program on Friday, but it's not always possible for various circumstances, and this is one of those weeks in which that is the case. We are going to be having a news roundup today here in the program, in that tomorrow, Lord willing, we're going to be having with us former U.S. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. And we're going to be delving into the issue that we discussed earlier this week with Alex Newman about this convention coming up next week in Geneva, Switzerland, that would surrender U.S. sovereignty to the World Health Organization to declare medical emergencies here within our nation, as well as many other nations around the world. This issue is so grave, so concerning, that we plan to spend a second day on the program Crosstalk with that information. So Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon at the same time, Michelle Bachmann is scheduled to be with us here on Crosstalk, and we're going to delve into that further. With that being said, we do want to not miss out on a news roundup here this week, because there is so much happening. Matter of fact, I mentioned to Sandy today, glad we're doing it on Thursday. We have so much more news than what we can even handle for today, let alone another 24-hour cycle that would go by. We're going to begin, though, with the news that was just hit the nation here over, the last 24 hours or so about the Department of Homeland Security's Disinformation Governance Board. Well, it's being put on hold just weeks after it was established and announced to the public, and the board director, Nina Jankowicz, resigned. Very interesting news coming out there. Conservative pundits have focused directly on her. A researcher at Russian Disinformation named to lead the board, pointing to statements that made by herself that questioned even the Hunter Biden laptop story that has proven to be credible. Media outlets have replayed a TikTok video that she taped about disinformation to the tune of a song from Mary Poppins. Earlier this month, the attorneys general of 20 Republican-led states threatened legal action against Department of Homeland Security over this board, claiming it is un-American and chilling to the free speech of Americans. Further, the Washington Beacon reporting that the Secretary of DHS, Mayorkas, had tapped DHS Secretary Michael Chertoff to advise this board, and its executive director had come under fire after she had perpetuated a Russian collusion hoax under Trump and so forth, and know a false narrative of the Hunter Biden laptop. But we're going to see what happens here. Just a parting word here from Matt Staver on this topic, I should say. Liberty Council founder and chair Matt Staver said, though we are pleased that Jankowicz is gone from the so-called Disinformation Governance Board, listen to this, we must continue to watch and see how this team of disinformation experts is rebranded. See, this so often happens. No, we're not going to do that. But all of a sudden, it's going to come back another name, another venue, some other, guys that will come forth. And Matt is already warning us about that, saying the DHS, which was created to protect the safety of Americans, is now targeting them for not embracing the Biden administration's radical agenda. But after just a very short-lived stature here, Ministry of Truth looks like it's going up in flames, but Matt Staver warning, watch out, it may come under a new covered wrapper, perpetrate the same kind of demise here upon our nation, upon citizens, for information going out here across this land. Well, Newsmax.com reporting Pennsylvania's hotly contested U.S. Senate Republican primary race between Dr. Oz and David McCormick could be decided by a significant number of unscanned Lancaster County mail-in ballots. Lancaster County officials on primary day Tuesday said an estimated two-thirds of 21,000 mail-in ballots that were received could not be scanned due to a printing error. McCormick led for most of the night, but Oz pulled ahead by about 2,000 votes, more than 1.3 million ballots counted. Citizens deserve to have accurate results from elections, and they deserve to have them on election night, not days later, said Josh Parsons, vice chair of the County Board of Commissioners. But because of this, we're not going to have final election results from these mail ballots for probably several days. So that's very, very frustrating to us. All impacted ballots will be remarked and scanned, Commissioner said, which is the process used last year when a similar error occurred with a different vendor. Why can't we get this right? Why can we not get these printing of ballots right? Some of this year's ballots, do you think it's intentional? The chaos that's been ensued by things like this? Some of this year's ballots printed by vendor NPC had the wrong identification code, Lancaster Online had reported. Let's go here to the Epoch Times. Two children hospitalized in Tennessee after their parents could not find a special type of baby formula amid a nationwide shortage. Dr. Mark Corkins, who treated the two children, confirmed to local media that the pair were hospitalized due to a lack of baby formula. Neither doctors nor families could find the special type of formula in local stores. They cannot absorb these other formulas, and they end up getting dehydrated and falling behind, the doctor said. Specifically, he treated a toddler and a preschooler as a direct result of the baby formula shortage. When the parents used a different type of formula, the children could not tolerate the change. Doctors said they were treated with IV fluids and nutrients until that type of formula is available. Corkin said that he expects more patients and children to seek treatment if action isn't taken soon to increase the supply of baby formula nationwide. The Daily Caller reporting that the Biden administration knew about the baby formula shortage as early as February. That was a statement from the director of the National Economic Council, Brian Deasy. He told CNN's New Day recently on a broadcast. Breitbart reporting Walmart shipping baby formula from Wyoming to New Jersey to help fill demand. USA Today saying that Nestle is flying Gerber baby food formula to the U.S. from the Netherlands and Switzerland to address the significant shortages in American supermarkets, the food and beverage company said in a statement on Tuesday. And from MarketWatch, President Joe Biden on Wednesday invoked the Defense Production Act to speed production of infant formula and authorize flights to import supply from overseas. He's facing mounting political pressure over a domestic shortage caused by the safety-related closure of the country's largest formula manufacturing plant. The Defense Production Act requires suppliers of formula manufacturers to fulfill orders from those companies before other customers. In an effort to eliminate production bottlenecks, he's also authorizing the Defense Department to use commercial aircraft to fly formula supplies that meet federal standards from overseas to the United States. He's calling it the Operation Fly Formula. Regulators said Monday that they've reached a deal to allow Abbott Nutrition to restart its Sturgis, Michigan plant, which has been closed since February due to contamination issues. The company must overhaul its safety protocols and procedures before resuming production. And what's interesting is that Abbott has saying that their products have not been directly linked to the bacterial infections in children. Samples of the bacteria found at its plant did not match the strains of bacteria collected from two babies by federal investigators. Interesting indeed, but this whole aspect of the FDA's involvement in this now, issuing this guidance document to help increase the supply of infant formula in the United States. They're certainly looking at this, they say, by a case-by-case basis, but the guidance goes until November 14th of 2022. According to the USDA website, the SNAP, or the Special Supplemental Nutrition Program for Women, Infants, and Children, that is WIC, provides federal grants to states for supplemental foods, and I understand that they are also getting engaged with this issue. They serve 53% of all infants born in the United States, and they've got a list of locations where needy parents can latch onto public assistance, like hospitals and county health departments, etc. But half of infants in the U.S., they report, are on WIC. That's astounding information. The New American reporting that the same globalists who have been supporting and promoting the tyrannical COVID agenda are also driving the world toward a global food crisis and famine. The recent dramatic increases in food prices, together with shortages of baby formula and other foods, are also pointing to a looming food crisis and even the prospect of famine. In certain parts of the world, famine is not merely a prospective future to be feared, but a present reality that is being experienced now in Yemen and Sudan, Ethiopia, Eritrea, other countries as well. Millions of people are already dying of starvation. Tens of millions more face the same fate. It comes on the heels of the COVID-19 pandemic, and in fact, it turns out that much of the food crisis and starvation is a result of government policy response to the virus, says William F. Jasper. The famine death spiral is being hastened by the COVID lockdowns and mandates that disrupted planting and harvesting cycles, destroyed crops and livestock herds, bankrupted crucial businesses, crippled supply chains as well. Under COVID, of Big Pharma with their allied investors and bought and paid for politicians have gained control over much of the medical and health sectors, he reports. Now, as we are seeing a similar concentration of control over our agriculture and food sectors, Bill Gates, one of the four wealthiest men in the world, is the most influential person on the planet in directing global health and vaccine policies, with fingers in all aspects of private and public activity. In the past few years, the Microsoft billionaire has become the largest individual owner of American farmland, buying up more than 240,000 acres across 18 states. Fellow overproduction alarmist Ted Turner has brought up over 2 million acres of ranch land across across eight states. Many of the mega corporations, pension funds, and Wall Street investment firms have likewise been gobbling up the land. The COVID lockdowns, which have driven many farmers into financial distress or bankruptcy, are allowing these buyers to pick up prime parcels at bargain rates. Over the past several years, this increasing concentration has been accompanied by a steady drumbeat of reports on food security from the Council on Foreign Relations, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Atlantic Council, and the United Nations adjuncts such as the World Health Organization, the Food and Agriculture Organization, the World Food Program, the International Monetary Fund, and also the World Bank. The high level of involvement of the Rockefeller and Gates Foundations in the development of food security policies is especially alarming, he reports, considering the long-standing leadership and massive funding these organizations have provided to the militant advocates of population control. If one controls the food, one can totally control the population. It's a simple concept, one that would all dictators fully understood. Well, that article in the New American, Bill Gates, and other elites pushing global food control under the guise of food security. You're going to be hearing more about this issue of food security. Let's take a look at another topic here from Western Journal. Americans facing what a major bank calls a cruel summer with gasoline prices that could hit $6 a gallon, according to a new report. J.P. Morgan said that with fuel inventories at their lowest level since 2019, the summer driving season will burn a hole in Americans' wallets. Interesting cruelty, or rather, yeah, cruelty is right. Currently, $6 a gallon is the California average for a gallon of gas, according to AAA. That yet another record high for a gallon of unleaded regular set the national average, now hitting 4.567 cents a gallon. That's as noted by the New York Post. The price of gas now tops $4 a gallon in every state of the United States, a dubious milestone that has never before been achieved. More stories coming up after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, over the years, we've read a lot from science about amber. Has DNA ever been recovered from it?
Chris, there are fragments of DNA found in amber, but it's well known that DNA decomposes in such a short period of time that even in thousands of years, you'd not expect to find much DNA left. But now an even more remarkable thing has been found that has thrown evolution into a tizzy. Entombed within the bodies of insects fossilized in amber are ancient bacteria, which scientists have been able to revive. They've actually come back to life. Over 3,500 types of microorganisms have been rejuvenated. Chris, how can this be? This amber is thought to be millions and millions of years old, but how could things still be alive after all that time? Chris, I think it's the evolutionary story and the story of millions of years which is wrong. The back-to-Genesis view makes a whole lot more sense.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis. You know, friends, it's amazing to see what's going on here with the fuel prices across the nation. And for the first time in our nation's history, every state reporting an average above $4 a gallon. Newsmax is reporting that some gas stations across the country are already bracing for the next big thing involving surging fuel prices, namely the price per gallon potentially exceeding $10. For other stations, however, there may be no product left to sell at the pumps. Throughout eastern Washington, according to a post-millennial report, gas stations are running out of fuel. In the Tri-Cities region of Kennewick, Pasco, and West Richland, customers are reportedly pulling up to pumps only to find no gas available for purchase. In fact, a local Facebook group that already identified 10 state stations that are currently out of fuel. This current shortage mainly accounts for regular and unleaded and premium gasolines, but the diesel supply is also in short supply, according to reports. With the supply seemingly shrinking and demand going way up, that naturally leads to higher fuel prices. A 76 gas station in Auburn, Washington, has already begun reprogramming the pumps to make room for double-digit pricing. That's to go above $10 a gallon. In the report, the 76 spokesperson confirmed that the national gas chain was reprogramming the functionality of its pumps, while also falling short, though, of predicting gas prices would rise that high. Why would they be reprogramming their pumps in order to go above 10 bucks a gallon? Interesting. WND.com reporting that the U.S. stockpile of diesel fuel hit a nearly two-decade low as fuel prices hit a record high on Wednesday. Folks, keep in mind, these trucks, these 18-wheelers, these truckers are the ones that keep America going. I mean, they're the ones that are transporting goods and services. We all know what the supply chain issue, but folks, if we're pulling trucks off the road for lack of diesel fuel, we ain't seen nothing yet. Breitbart is reporting 20 years after the U.S. invested blood and treasure in liberating Iraq from the rule of Saddam Hussein, China is attempting to lock up control of Iraq's oil fields. Reuters reported on Tuesday that Iraq's oil ministry has repelled three attempts by Chinese firms to gain control of the country's petroleum resources. Can you imagine what will happen then? I mean, it is amazing. The Iraqi officials said they desired a stronger relationship with China to balance Iran's regional influence, but they're apprehensive about the loss of other foreign investment that would result if Iraq was viewed as Chinese property. Chinese state firms have secured a dominant position by undercutting the profit margins desired by most other investors. Baghdad may not be able to keep Beijing at bay for long, as analysts told Reuters that the Western push for green energy is making it harder for Iraq to offer the kind of deals that would attract anyone but China. And friends, we see what's happening even with these electric cars. And by the way, there are fires happening in many locations due to the whether it be the lithium batteries or whatever it may be involved in this aspect, but the garages have been burned up as a result of a electric vehicle being inside. But also the waits that are happening at these charging stations. What does it take, an hour to get a full charge? Some have grabbed some photos of these charging stations and the long waits that are taking for them. Daily Wire is reporting late Monday the Ukrainian government appeared to surrender the key port city of Mariupol to the Russians. According to the live war updates from the New York Times, capture of the steel complex in Mariupol was a deciding factor in Russia's apparent victory over the Ukrainians in their combat mission. Fox News is reporting 3 months after the U.S. suspended operations at the American embassy in Kyiv, Ukraine, the State Department announced that it will be reopening. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, we are officially resuming operations at the U.S. Embassy in Kyiv. The Ukrainian people, with our security assistance, have defended their homeland in the face of Russia's unconscionable invasion. As a result, the Stars and Stripes are flying over the embassy once again. Let's see. New York Times reporting President Biden has signed an order authorizing the military to once again deploy hundreds of special operation forces inside of Somalia, largely reversing the decision by President Trump to withdraw nearly all of the 700 ground troops that have been stationed there. In addition, Mr. Biden has approved a Pentagon request for standing authority to target about a dozen suspected leaders of Al-Shabaab. That's a Somali terrorist group that's affiliated with Al-Qaeda, three of the officials said. Another topic here today, decrying disastrous COVID-19 public health policies. More than 17,000 physicians and medical scientists from around the world are calling on nations to lift health emergency declarations, restore scientific integrity, and to address crimes against humanity. The story is at WND.com. Among the signatories is Dr. Robert Malone, inventor of the mRNA technology behind the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, arguing that the concerns raised in the declaration go well beyond COVID-19, threatening constitutional rights. The fourth declaration of the Global COVID Summit states that the COVID policies that have been imposed over the past 2 years are the culmination of a corrupt medical alliance of pharmaceutical, insurance, and healthcare institutions, along with the financial trusts which control them. They've infiltrated our medical system at every level and are protected and supported by a parallel alliance of big tech, media, academics, and government agencies who profited from this orchestrated catastrophe, the signatories declare. The corrupt alliance continues to advance unscientific claims by censoring data and intimidating and firing doctors and scientists for simply publishing actual clinical results of treating their patients with proven life-saving medicine. These catastrophic decisions came at the expense of the innocent, who are forced to suffer health damage and death caused by intentionally withholding critical and time-sensitive treatments, or as a result of coerced genetic therapy injections, which are neither safe nor effective, they say. We declare that state of national emergency, which facilitates corruption and extends the pandemic, should be immediately terminated. They also argue that masks have never been effective protection against an airborne respiratory virus. They charged that vaccine makers Pfizer, Moderna, BioNTech, Janssen, AstraZeneca, and their enablers withheld and are willfully omitting safety and effectiveness information from patients and physicians and should be immediately indicted for fraud. Coming from 17,000 doctors calling for an end to the COVID-19 emergency. WND.com reporting that reacting to the suppression of certain, quote, controversial treatments for COVID-19, Missouri has passed a law that bans pharmacists from questioning doctors who prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for their patients. The measure passed the Missouri House by a 130-4 vote last week and went to the governor, Mike Parsons. Very interesting indeed. Also, Biden's top medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, said in a recent interview with the immunity from COVID-19 vaccines waning, he said, we've got to get more people boosted. But a segment on Good Morning America, ABC News chief medical correspondent Dr. Jennifer Ashton warned that it's possible that repeated boosting actually can weaken the immune system. Hear that? Repeated boosting actually can weaken the immune system. She said that getting a booster shot is a good idea for older people who have chronic underlying conditions, but everybody else, don't think that more boosting is the answer, she said. Very interesting indeed. The FDA, this is from CNN, U.S. Food and Drug Administration has granted emergency use authorization for a booster dose of Pfizer-BioNTech's COVID-19 vaccine for children ages 5 to 11, at least 5 months after completion of the primary vaccine series. Studies from the New York State Department of Health and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that the effectiveness of two doses of Pfizer's vaccine for children ages 5 to 12 dropped substantially during the Omicron surge, falling from 68% effectiveness to about 12% against infection. WND.com reports of a veteran rheumatologist says about 40% of the approximately 3,000 vaccinated patients in his practice have reported vaccine-related injury. 40%! And 5% of the vaccinated patients are still injured, according to Dr. Robert Jackson in an interview with Steve Kirsch, executive director of the Vaccine Safety Research Foundation. Jackson consistent with a study published in the British Journal of Medicine said that he has seen 12 patients die following COVID vaccinations. Normally, he sees only one or two deaths annually in his practice's patient base of 5,000. but just 12 patients died following the vaccination. Jackson is intentional about recording adverse vaccine effects, asking his patients what happened to them following the vaccination, which most doctors do not do. LifeScienceNews.com says that wearing masks leads to breathing in dangerous levels of carbon dioxide, a study has found. Wearing a face mask results in exposure to dangerous concentrations of carbon dioxide in inhaled air, even when the mask is worn for just 5 minutes when sitting still, a study has found. Surgical masks, the CO2 concentration of inhaled air exceeded the danger zone of 5,000 parts per million in 40% of the cases. With FFP2 respirators, it exceeded it in 99% of cases. It's not a peer-reviewed study as of yet, but the study is a preprint from a team in Italy and used a technique called capnography to take the measurements of CO2 and inhaled air over the course of 5 minutes. But telling us that wearing masks leads to breathing in dangerous levels of carbon dioxide. Daily Caller reporting that supporters of mask mandates may have a new opportunity to once again try bringing back COVID-19 restrictions in the coming weeks. COVID-19 cases once again on the rise in the U.S. And it appears that there are those that are within the Biden administration that are, well, keeping the public health emergency going on. Pressure is already coming down to return to a world of mask mandates. Manhattan Bureau President Mark Levine has called on New York City Mayor Eric Adams to reinstate an indoors mask mandate. Adams has so far refused to do so. Still, the city requires toddlers to be masked at school. Apple has reinstated mask mandates at 100 of its stores. And the Trump-era Surgeon General Jerome Adams is encouraging Americans to prep for an oncoming surge by getting high-quality masks. Interesting. From townhall.com, thousands of abortion supporters turned out across the U.S. last Saturday to defend Roe v. Wade following the leak of the draft opinion showing that the court is going to overturn the 73 ruling. According to organizer, the 400 Bans Off Our Bodies demonstrations kicked off what they vowed would be a summer of rage if the Supreme Court overturns the abortion ruling, which would turn the issue back to states. The protests were organized by a number of groups, including Women's March, Planned Parenthood, Rise Up for Abortion Rights, and others. For the women of this country, this will be a summer of rage. Until our government starts working for us and codifies our right to an abortion, we will be ungovernable, tweeted Rachel O'Leary Carmona, executive director of Women's March. Hear that? We will be ungovernable. Folks, the lawlessness that we have seen take place appears to be nothing as to what they are planning for their summer of rage. Governor DeSantis of Florida signed a bill on Monday that bars protesters from demonstrating outside homes in the wake of protests outside Supreme Court justices' homes. Sending unruly mobs to private residences like we've seen with the angry crowds in the front of the homes of the Supreme Court justices is inappropriate. He said this bill will provide protection to those living in residential communities, and I am glad to sign it into law. Well, folks, for some reason, the Justice Department is not stepping up enforcement of what our law already says outside the homes of justices of the U.S. Supreme Court. But not only that, there are activists now that are threatening to burn down the Supreme Court and even to assassinate the justices. More on that after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Babylon is mentioned nearly 300 times in Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. God's end-time program for Babylon has its roots in the historical account of the Tower of Babel. Their leader Nimrod, whose name means rebellion or revolt, led the people in defiance against God, pursuing what he saw as a new world order. In the book Babylon, the bookends of prophetic history, author Dr. Andy Woods reveals it's not only the old Babylon that pursued such a path, but believes the scriptural evidence points to the new Babylon that will be rebuilt as the headquarters of the Antichrist, will serve as a political authority over the earth, and the future seat of global religious authority. He examines the scriptures that call for a futuristic, literal Babylon in God's End Times program. Copies of Babylon are available for a donation of $16 when you call 1-800-729-9829.
Today, news roundup on Crosstalk, in that tomorrow we anticipate to have former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann with us here on Crosstalk to discuss further about the World Health Organization and the Biden administration colluding together with amendments that would not allow countries to opt out of these health emergencies that are declared by the WHO and would enable them to take control over really just virtually anything here in the United States. So Lord willing, we'll have more information on that tomorrow. This is in follow-up to the interview we had earlier this week with Alex Newman. And if you missed that foundational program, please go to crosstalkamerica.com. Listen to the broadcast with Alex Newman earlier this week. Take the link, send it out to as many far and wide. Let's go to lifenews.com as we're talking about the abortion extremist here. I mean, think about it. It's extreme to take a baby's life and to dismember a baby. And so they would think nothing about burning down the Supreme Court or murder against justices if Roe was overturned. Department of Homeland Security, this is lifenews.com, has released a very concerning new report showing that radical abortion activists plan to burn down or storm the Supreme Court building and murder justices and their law clerks once the decision overturning Roe v. Wade is released. The report indicates these pro-abortion extremists will also target churches and other places of worship with violence and vandalism. Isn't that interesting, folks, to see this take place? Now, we've already seen what happened at Wisconsin Family Action. Molotov cocktails thrown at the building. Fire started. Damaged the spray paint. If Roe isn't safe, neither are you. I mean, and we've seen this happen. We've seen churches that have been defaced in light of this. During a public event last Friday evening, Justice Clarence Thomas condemned the pro-abortion protests taking place in recent days at the homes of members of the Supreme Court. Justice Samuel Alito, the author of the draft opinion, and he and his colleagues will not be intimidated, though, they're saying. A new DHS report indicates their lives could be at stake once the draft becomes the official report of the High Court. You know, it's very, very interesting that this violence is going on, and we have the leadership just yawning at this, just crickets from them, telling them, yeah, so we encourage them, you know, to let their voices be heard. Well, friends, now it's gotten to the point where they're threatening to burn down the Supreme Court, to kill the justices and their staffs. And one of the interesting things is that they're trying to bring intimidation to at least a justice to reverse the opinion prior to this decision being released. Why have they not released this decision yet? Have you had a Starbucks recently? On Monday, Starbucks became one of the latest major corporations to announce it will pay for abortion and transgender surgery-related travel expenses for its employees, UPI reported. Employees and their dependents will receive financial backing from Starbucks to travel for abortion for gender-affirming surgeries as part of the corporation's benefits package. The policy will kick off for any of the company's 240,000 employees who would need to travel 100 miles or more to obtain an abortion or gender-affirming surgical procedure. Is that something? We will pay the way for you to go kill your baby. Is that why the price of a Starbucks coffee is so high? So that those profits that they make from people going into to them will be able to help pay for abortion access or those who want to have body mutilating surgeries? LifeSiteNews.com is reporting, according to Reuters, President Biden is considering a variety of measures, including executive orders, to support so-called abortion access in a post-Roe America. Press Secretary Jen Psaki, before she left, told reporters back on May the 10th that the president has asked the White House Gender Policy Council, the Department of Health and Human Services, and the White House Counsel's Office to draft a plan to, quote, protect women's rights. It may not all be executive orders. A lot of this is ensuring that we have increased access and funding so that women who are living in the states if Roe were to be overturned would be able to have expanded access and capabilities, and some of them could be from the Department of Justice, Psaki said. She explained that the DOJ is being prepped to defend abortionists, pharmacies that dispense the abortion pill, and women who obtain abortions from criminal cases and lawsuits. One measure being considered by the administration is to pressure the FDA to make the abortion pill more readily available. This would presumably be according to what's known as the no-test protocol, in which no prior screening for gestational age or potential complications is performed. The Biden administration is also considering asking HHS and the Center for Medical and Medicare and Medicaid services to allow Medicaid funds to be used for travel expenses for low-income women seeking abortion outside of their home states. This would require, ladies and gentlemen, listen, this would require American taxpayers to subsidize abortion. The plan underfoot by the Biden administration. And there is such pride in killing one's baby. LifeNews.com tells us Democrat Congresswoman Gwen Moore said this week, and she's the congresswoman that represents Milwaukee, she said this week that she is never sorry about choosing to abort her unborn baby when she was a young, struggling mother. She has represented Milwaukee in Congress since 2005. She told Elle magazine that she chose to have an abortion at age 19 because it allowed her to write her own destiny. Because of my abortion, I could escape permanent poverty for me and my daughter and forge a new path that meant I could write my own destiny, she wrote Monday on Twitter. In doing so, however, she destroyed her unborn child's chance to ever do the same. It's all about me. This allows me to control my own destiny. I could write my own destiny, she said. Well, friends, doesn't that also sanction one who says, you know, I'm having a hard time feeding my children at home right now. If I would only take their lives as well, like Gwen Moore did to her baby, that this would allow me to better control my own destiny. What silly rationale. What horrendous rationale. LifeNews.com reporting that a Michigan judge blocking the state's old abortion ban that predates Roe v. Wade, making it so that the state would no longer protect babies from an abortion when the Supreme Court is expected to overturn Roe v. Wade next month. Judge Elizabeth Gleicher, who has come under massive criticism because she's a Planned Parenthood supporter, she would not recuse herself from the case. She issued her decision blocking their 1931 state abortion ban. After 50 years of legal abortion in Michigan, there can be no doubt that the right of personal autonomy and bodily integrity enjoyed by our citizens includes the right of a woman in consultation with her physician to terminate a pregnancy, the judge said in her ruling. She made annual donations to Planned Parenthood, represented a group as an attorney in a 1997 case challenging the same abortion ban, which would go back into effect if Roe v. Wade is overturned. And now she, as a judge, has struck it down. Life News also telling us Planned Parenthood is floundering, even in pro-abortion New England states. I thank the Lord that facilities located in parts of Vermont and New Hampshire, they've closed down 5 Planned Parenthood facilities there. I want you to listen to a couple clips here. This is Dr. Yashika Robinson, serves on the board of directors of Physicians for Reproductive Health and performs abortions at an OBGYN at Alabama Women's Center. When questioned, refused to say whether she supports abortion up to birth. This was a House Judiciary Committee hearing that was titled Revoking Your Rights, the Ongoing Crisis in Abortion Care Access. We have Representative Mike Johnson speaking and questioning Dr. Yashika Robinson. Let's listen in.
Let me ask Dr. Robinson. I could go to any of them, but you're the medical doctor. Based on your website and your testimony today, you clearly support the right to abort a 20-week-old unborn child. So I would love for you to explain to us, in your medical opinion, at what point in pregnancy should having an abortion no longer be an option?
Thank you for the question. As a medical doctor, I understand that every pregnancy is unique and different. I also understand that patients need to have access to care, pregnant people, as the pregnancy progresses, and that may be for various reasons.
Okay, let me ask you. Do you support the right of a woman who is just seconds away from birthing a healthy child to have an abortion?
I think that the question that you're asking does not realistically reflect abortion care.
In that scenario, would you support her right to abort that child?
I won't entertain theoreticals.
It's not a theoretical, ma'am. You're a medical doctor.
I am a medical doctor, and that has never happened.
Never happened in your practice, ma'am, but it happens. How about if a child is halfway out of the birth canal? Is an abortion permissible then?
Can you repeat your question?
If a child is halfway delivered out of the birth canal, is it permissible to have an abortion? Would you support the right for an abortion then?
I can't even fathom that ever.
And I'm not asking you if you can fathom it. If it occurred, would you support that abortion or not? That's unrestricted abortion, right?
That's a question that I can't imagine. Just like you probably can't imagine what you would do if your daughter was raped. If it hasn't happened, it may be difficult for you.
You're not going to answer this question, but how about this one? How does one qualify as fully human? What makes a human being?
What makes a person a human being is them being born, number one. That's why we have birthdays. And then also their individual DNA, them having autonomy, being able to act and think.
Okay, but wait a minute. A newborn child lacks the immediate capacity. A newborn child lacks the immediate capacity to make conscious, deliberate choices. So is infanticide okay?
I think what we're here to talk about is abortion care. What you're describing is something that is already illegal, and there are laws on the books for that. So I'm not a proponent.
But see, you understand if Dobbs is handed down, the states will be able to make that decision, and there are some that will go that far. You need to be aware of what we're talking about today. I'm out of time. I yield back.
There are laws on the books for that.
The gentleman's time has expired. The witness may answer the question.
I'm sorry?
I said the gentleman's time has expired. The witness may answer the question.
Okay. In the instance that he's describing, there are already laws on the books for that. Those are criminal acts, and so I'm not a proponent of any additional restrictions on people being able to access abortion care. I'm a proponent of us just enforcing the laws that are already on the books.
But what if the law has changed to allow for that?
The gentleman's time has expired.
Very interesting exchange there on the House floor, or rather in the House committee meeting. A doctor, that was Yashika Robinson, also testifying in a House Judiciary Committee hearing on abortion access services in the U.S. The executive director of an abortion advocacy organization testified that men can indeed become pregnant and have abortions. This is Amy Arambide, executive director of Avow. It's a Texas-based organization devoted to securing unrestricted abortion care and reproductive rights, was asked by Congressman Dan Bishop to define the term women.
What do you say a woman is?
I believe that everyone can identify for themselves.
Okay. Do you believe then that men can become pregnant and have abortions?
Yes.
Share lunacy, folks. Newsmax.com, as corporate America readies rainbow filters for company logos for Pride Month in June, Disney has launched a new LGBTQ Pride collection of merchandise aimed at children. From rainbow backpacks and pins to children's T-shirts and tumblers with reusable straws, Disney's new collection has all of the child who likes Marvel and Mickey or Star Wars but wants it to be an LGBTQ ally. For the family with four-legged furry children, Disney has rainbow-colored pet collars and leashes. The Disney Parade Collection, created by the LGBTQIA+ employees and allies at Disney, to give a reflection of their incredible contributions and place in the heart of the company. The company said on its website, "We stand in solidarity with our LGBTQIA+ community everywhere." Disney is going to donate all of the profits from the Disney Pride Collection through June 30th to organizations that support LGBTQIA+ youth and families. Let's take some phone calls during our final segment. Our number, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Many Americans wonder, how is it that communism has been so successful in America, penetrating so many of our government agencies to the point we refer to them now as the deep state? Reality is that Moscow, in 1960, released a document to their comrades worldwide calling for war on the anti-communist groups. anti-communist groups like the John Birch Society and anti-communist individuals like Ronald Reagan or John Wayne. These people were particularly targeted because the communists in Moscow knew they were having great influence. Then the FBI had their hands tied after liberal Frank Church, U.S. Senator, held hearings in 1975 on our intelligence agencies. As a result, the Levy guidelines, named after Attorney General for Gerald Ford, were released that tied the hands of the FBI from investigating the communist.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. I just got to squeeze this story in, too, because of the insanity that is going on. This is taking us to a school district in the state of Wisconsin, the Keel School District, that has filed a Title IX charge against three students in the Keel Middle School. The Keel Middle School, what did they do? They used the wrong pronouns while speaking to another student. Rosemary Rabideau, the mother of one of the accused students, told Fox 11 her son is actually being accused of a sexual crime, saying, quote, "I received a phone call from the principal over at the elementary school forewarning me, letting me know I was going to be receiving an email with sexual harassment allegations against my son. She was horrified. Her son's only 13 years old. She said, I immediately went into shock. I'm thinking, sexual harassment? What has my son done? Well, nothing, as it turns out. When she was told by the investigating principal that he was actually being charged with not using proper pronouns, she was furious. She said, I thought it wasn't real. I thought this has got to be a gag, a joke. One has nothing to do with one another. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, whose attorneys are defending the three students, agreed, calling the complaint inappropriate, calling for the charges to be immediately dismissed. I don't have a phone number here handy for the Keel School District, but my, oh my, folks, this is way off the charts. Sexual harassment because of not using the proper pronouns? Let's go to our phone calls here today. We have Ari calling in from Waukesha, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Yeah, I just want to say I will not be supporting Starbucks anymore, and definitely no Disney. Not buying any Disney for anybody. Not going. Just horrible. And also, I want to thank you. I had left you a voicemail to talk more about the situation happening with America and WHO next week. And glad to hear, obviously, very important issue. Glad to hear that you're doing so many programs and allowing us to try to put a stop to this.
Thank you.
So thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Ari. It's a huge issue. And Alex Newman did a great job explaining everything here on Tuesday. And Lord willing, everything is going to work out with Michelle Bachman tomorrow to further deal with this issue. But it's very, very troubling and really demands engagement in this issue. Thanks for the call.
Yes, very good.
Let's go to Gregory, South Dakota. Wayne, you're on the air.
Hi, I was just wanting to comment on how ridiculous this is getting. I'm a 64-year-old man, and, you know, according to the left's rules, I can identify as a woman if I wanted to, but would they allow me to identify as a black woman? Or, you know, I mean, it's like they get to make up all the rules, as stupid and crazy as they are, but I guess if you want to cross over to a different race and they call that cultural appropriation, it's just so crazy anymore that it'd be funny if it wasn't so serious and wrong, but I just wanted to make that comment.
Can I identify as somebody 10 years old so I can get the child's rate admission into things? Can a child identify as a senior to get the senior's rate? I mean, it is crazy. It is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye
now. Elizabeth in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yes, I'd just like to say there's peace found in Jesus Christ through all that's going on.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you so much for that. Indeed. You know, as we've heard, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, Jesus said. I have overcome the world. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes, Brother Jim, I just wanted to say that people, if they can't see all this what's going on, they really need to get their spiritual house in order, because I'll tell you what, the Lord's coming. His judgment is close at hand, and I'll tell you what, that man is soon going to be revealed. Once he's revealed, The church is going to be the real church, those who really are diligent in a relationship with him, and the rest are going to all be left behind to face the hordes of hell.
It would be a frightening prospect. And, Barry, I know the program we did with Pastor Richard Schmidt on Monday of this week, it's another program. I am just hoping that many will respond and get that link out to many.
Yes, sir. We are so close. We are so close. I am telling you. And I just see it frightens me to see people in church that are so cold and indifferent, and they just don't realize it.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. I don't have time. It doesn't appear to play the audio clip, but this situation in University of Wyoming students, we have Senator, is it Lummis, speaking before the students and talked about only two biological sexes, male and female. I mean, she was booed. The students yelled out in this, and this is in the next generation, folks. This is the next generation. We're going to be, you know, operating everything from businesses to law enforcement to political offices as well. Carrie is calling from Racine. Carrie, you're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just wanted to point something out that I haven't heard anybody say before. It strikes me as very odd that someone can identify as a woman, but then cannot identify what the woman that they are identifying as is.
Interesting thought.
That was it.
Thank you. Kelly in Lost Creek, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call. I'm so interested in these topics, and if I get out of school in time, I can comment. I was just in a strategic planning meeting for the end of the school year where we calculate and we tally all the races of students that we have. We number them. And the teachers and I were looking over the figures, and some of them are included as a mix, a black, a white mix, or, you know, whatever their race is. And we were saying how odd it is that they're allowed to select white and choose them as a white Hispanic or a Negro and a white Negro. They can be listed twice, and yet something so plain and simple and clear as our gender identity, because we have certain reproductive parts that we are namely a male or a female.
Yeah.
But that is in question when the color of our skin can be called whatever you want it to be.
Thank you, Kelly, for raising that. Doreen in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
I believe, and I thank you for what you're saying today, and I think you're standing up for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I believe we're in spiritual warfare, and we need to wake up for the times.
Yes.
And the discernment of the times that we're living in today.
Amen.
I'm sorry that this is happening to this young child. And I tell you what, and you also talked about abortion today. I grieve my spirit because I did that. I ask God to forgive me for that.
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, and God is a merciful God, and I don't want to really go into that. But you know what? God has, as far as from the east as from the west, God has removed my transgressions. And I wish there was people standing up where I was to prevent me from doing what I did.
Amen. Thank you. I'd love to hear more. Our music is playing. Those things, we're out of time. Thank you, for Doreen, for your call. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.